Добрый день. Сегодня у нас необычный урок. Мы очень рады приветствовать огромнейшее количество участников сегодняшнего урока, которые собрались на День Единства, наш международный большой День Единства, когда на всех...
To our great day of unity, where in all of our groups, all of our students, all of our friends unite together in the centers, on the internet, and with a lot of joy have this Sunday together. The main event, of course, is our lesson given by Dr. Michael Lightman. And besides that, we have a whole program that's organized by our organizers. And immediately afterwards, we're New York. New York is going to connect many of the groups. And then there will be a kids' lesson from Neighborhood. Then Yeshivat Chaverim, meals, gatherings, songs, everything that we planned in our centers, we're trying to be with together with you. And now we're inviting everyone to unite our desires, to build a single intention, and have this hour together with Dr. Michael Lightman and the World Kli, and we'll hear a lesson about the Matan Torah. You know, lately, I'm engaged in not that much the crisis, because I understand the crisis, but the reaction of different people to the crisis, scholars, analysts, psychologists, and so on. What's interesting is that humanity is already for thousands of years developing in its egoism, but we simply didn't understand what's motivating us, because besides this nature, we have nothing else that we can compare it with. What kind of quality is it that we're a part of? Well, a person is an egoist, okay. Could it be any other way? An altruist, okay, if he shares a bit of what he says with of what he has with others, then we consider him as an altruist. When I feel certain feelings, also as a result of my egoistic stimulations, but when I share it with someone, that's called, it's considered altruism. Good behavior means that if I don't bring harm on to others and so on. Meaning all of us are so immersed in our egoistic quality that we can't even imagine anything else. So when I look at what the analysts write these days, and these are smart people, they really write very good, they have a very good insight and the right conclusion that what has to be corrected is man's nature and society, and probably rising to a new level of existence, adapting our society into some kind of a new form. There should be connection between governments, people, nations, and so on. And in short, they come to the right conclusions. And our diagnosis is correct, that we are in the egoism that turns anything good into bad, and as a result, we always find ourselves in a crisis, on the one hand. On the other hand, yes, obviously, somehow we have to correct it. Today, many write about this, even those that wrote about it earlier, those that wrote earlier about there being need to build economy differently, to get rid of the financial bubble, and for money to have a meaning, for something to stand behind that money, not when simply the financial organizations, the only thing that they do is they trade zeros and numbers, and as a result they get great incomes behind which nothing stands. But in the meantime, they're kind of sucking on that money. They buy something for it, and then that the void, the emptiness in the bank is what's left over for us. And even the small and essential that we have suddenly decreases or even disappears. So we're not talking about how to correct the economic system. There's a conclusion that we can't correct it unless we correct ourselves. But here they come to a dead end. And it happens among all analysts of all people, of all countries, of all systems and civilizations. Today's civilizations, it could be American and Western and Eastern and Russian analysts and very serious analysts from the highest governmental institutions, from the Secret Service analytics and so on. Everything is working in order to prevent the next bankruptcy, the next crisis and so on, and everyone comes to the conclusion closer, and most of the mass is somewhere in between, but gradually are coming to the conclusion that we have to correct man's nature. Without that, we won't achieve anything. All of our attempts, if they will flourish on egoism, will eventually bring us to war and mutual destruction. Why can't they see that? We didn't see it for thousands of years. Why not? Because we have no other nature than our egoistic nature. We can't imagine a different world. We can't imagine that there is another quality that's based on bestowal, on connecting yourself such with others, that you turn into a single body, a single organism, like cells in a body, and then we can truly come to an agreement, a general feeling of thyself as existing not in your body, but in a whole. And that body will have no longer our animalistic body, the way we feel each one himself, but the general spiritual life, the next dimension. And that is what Kabbalah brings you to and gives you the tool called the upper light, the force of bestowal that exists in nature in a concealed fashion, and somehow we have to awaken its influence on ourselves. This is why we get together in groups and we have such events and days like today's Unity Day. And in this article called Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, Torah coming from the word instruction, correction. Baal Sulam explains here what it means to achieve connection with others. When we take into consideration souls in a body, the different organs in a living soul, in a living body, we understand that it has to be a whole, full connection, that which we call reciprocity, where the different parts and organs are so connected naturally that they can't work one without the other, because the desire of each organ, of each cell, exists in the others, and thus everyone provides not for himself but for all the others, and all the others provide for him, sustain him, give him what's essential in order to exist. And by creating this vast system, higher spiritual life starts being felt, like in our corporeal body, since it being put together allows us to feel us existing as people above our animalistic body, uniting between ourselves into an inner connection and bestowal. And reciprocal love, we start feeling the next level of existence that way, spiritual level of existence. And there are more and more degrees of until we achieve full unification, so-called full correction, and whole desire to be fulfilled by the entire light of infinity. This is the state we have to come to. And that is called the final correction, where we finally correct ourselves and we acquire the entire spiritual world. And that state, too, is not the final state. But we attain it, and the following states that we attain through the full correction of the bring together of all people into a single desire and qualities and so on. This is called the seventh thousand. We're talking about there being that throughout the 6,000 years starting with Adam, we have to correct ourselves and come to full unification. By that, our unification is fulfilled by the upper light and the upper life, and that state of the final correction and the upper light. And later on, there is the 9th, 8th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th thousand. It's like from the Malchut we attain 6 Sfirot, Chagat Nei, Chesed Gvura Tiferet Netzach Hod Yesod. When we completely attain them in the Malchut called Chagat Neim, 7,000 years. It's called so. It doesn't necessarily mean that 7,000 years have to go by. Afterwards, we attain the 8th thousand. It's the full degree of Binah. The 9th is Binah, and the 10th is the full level of Ketel. When we achieve the 10th thousand, by that we entirely complete our entire spiritual ascent and attainment. What exists beyond those boundaries, we do not know. But Kabbalists hint about it, that that is merely the first phase of our development, and after that we get into further phases that we can't talk about, because there you have neither words nor definitions, because all that we attain, all that we feel, is built on the limitations between light and darkness, warm and cold, plus and minus, and beyond that full correction, there aren't these transitions, no longer exist. There's a completely different dynamics and perception of reality. And that is where they offer us to keep on ascending to. To what point, we don't know. Kabbalah speaks about it openly and says that it is meant only in order to bring a person to the seventh thousand, meaning to bring him the entire path. And it can reveal in us in a single moment. Time no longer exists, so the manifestation of that state in us, in that single vessel, desire, is called the seventh thousand, seventh millennia. And from that point on, there is a completely different system of development, completely different dynamics, and that is enough for us. Afterwards, we get some completely different other means of advancement. But in order to keep advancing, at least for this day, we have to envision for ourselves what state is it, the state that we have to penetrate, that we have to get into, state of whole, complete, and utter unification, complete love. What is complete love? Love, it means when I accept the desire, the feeling, the lack, the desire of another, of other people, as greater than my own. Meaning, for this, first of all, I have to make a restriction over myself and not to receive anything into my own desires. Then make myself into a completely neutral means in order to fulfill the other, as long as I feel myself and my own desires, some shortcomings, deficiencies, wants in me, I can't feel others. I'll always feel others as a means for my self-fulfillment. How can I benefit something with their help. And this is how we relate to one another naturally. The only thing each one of us sees around himself is what goes through our five senses, reaches our ego, and from the ego penetrates into our desire, meaning I see around me only that which can help me get pleasure, or threatens me, or could make me suffer. This is how I feel the entire surrounding world and all of its details and objects and everything else. And when I, through unification, achieve a state where I can say that I don't care about myself because I want to start fulfilling others, such a state brings a person to be independent of his own ego. And here there is the possibility to start feeling others, at least start feeling them so that you don't want anything from them for yourself, and in the meantime you're incapable of giving them anything. That state is called the level of the righteous, the incomplete righteous, where you're neutral with respect to others. Undergoing this phase and all of its desires and all of its qualities, a person enters the next phase where he starts feeling the desire of the other. In such a style, in such a paradigm, where he wishes to absorb them into himself, like a mom wants to know what's going on with her baby. What does he want? In order to fulfill him, in order to fill him. Meaning to begin with, there is a desire to fill the others. And then comes the feeling of the other, which is higher than yourself. This is the first step towards attaining the attainment of love. And the next step, after a person can perceive the quality of himself as higher than the others, he starts, with the help of any means that are at his disposal, to fulfill these desires, qualities of an entirely, of the other. That is the fulfillment of the other, of the desire of the other, with the help of the means that are actually your own. That is called love. And this is the quality that we have to come to. This is the action that we have to come to. And actually, we have to connect between us such that each one of us, instead of a small egoistic desire, to feel the tremendous desire of everyone in the world and to want and fulfill all of them. Then, with respect to all these desires in the world that connect in me, or we can depict them as connecting before me as a single desire, if I work in order to fulfill them, then by doing that I'm completely equal with the Creator and I start feeling myself like Him. And that is the rule of loving another. That's how you come from connecting with the other to connecting with the Creator. Because his manner, his image is created in me through that, and I start understanding what is the Creator, what are his qualities, precisely in respect to how he unfolds in me. Without that, I can't feel the upper world. In short, we feel both this world and the spiritual world and everything within ourselves. So Bala Sulam tells us how we're supposed to achieve this state of love another as thyself. He talks about it in item number 4 here. And Kabbalah, as the method for the correcting of the ego, is given to us for that purpose. Thus, all the great researchers and analysts that I truly respect, even though I don't always agree to their opinion, but they're really standing out in their knowledge and abilities, and I bring them as an example on my blog. You can see that. But they do not have the ability to see the right decision to the conflict that we got into. It's not a conflict. It's the crisis of the ego. And, of course, it is in our own favor. And, of course, it has to awaken in us the correct attitude toward it, meaning with as little as possible bloodshed, we have to come to its correction, to its remaking into bestowal, into love, and then all that I perceive now and the egoism will grow to the extent to which I can give it a form of bestowal instead of fulfillment through self-benefit, through self-gratification. Then it will ever grow like the left line, like the impure forces, and I will constantly correct and invert them into the very opposite, and this way express my love toward others, fulfilling them more or less. This is how we have to work, meaning that the world is created specifically in order for us to adapt ourselves this way. And since we're coming to this state in our days, then we're living in the best possible times for that, and we're actually very lucky, because out of billions of people, we were led to be the first to undergo this. So actually each one of you is chosen by the Creator for a unique mission. And the next thing that Bala Sulam asks is, it's a question that each one of us asks. If the Creator is almighty, why didn't He create us corrected to begin with? And then we wouldn't have had to undergo all the suffering and so on, throughout which we curse and condemn the Creator. Why did the Creator create us so that see what's happening, what's going on actually? Where? Why actually do we have to undergo all of these thousands of years of destruction, defeat and so on and so forth, instead of becoming like our Maker? And Baal Sulam, he sets an example out of which we also don't really understand what he wants to tell us about. He tells us about this poor person, a beggar, who suddenly meets in town his childhood friend, who in the meantime became very wealthy, and that wealthy friend, he's very happy that he met his childhood friend, and remembering their childhood and the friendship they had, he takes him in, clothes him, bathes him, gives him anything and everything, opens everything up to him, and doesn't even know how to keep on filling him ever more. As a result, he reaches a state where he is ready to give his friend everything, up to the point where he himself is prepared to become a beggar in order to give him all that he has, and suddenly he sees that he has no joy in it whatsoever. He tells him, I'm giving you everything. Why aren't you joyful? He says, yes, I can receive it all, and it will all be mine, but it won't be something that I've earned. It's more or less what the Creator wants to tell us. To begin with, I would have given you everything, but if you think that by that you would feel yourself incomplete and utter fulfillment, attainment. In short, in all possible good and riches, no. You wouldn't have felt that. On the contrary, you would have felt tremendous lowness and shame. Because the state in which you are, it's a state of complete independence. I didn't give you anything. I've created you, and on the contrary, I've created you in a very low state. You can't have any positive claims. You can't complain against me. Well, in the meantime, you can have complaints against me, but I didn't create you as receivers. I created you as those that want to receive, but not as receivers. I've created you with a freedom of choice, a freedom to decide, specifically because you're independent, you're neutral. And now on your level you can decide to receive or not to, where and how much, and I'll erase your independence. And in this case, this is the state we're in, meaning only to the extent to which I can give to the Creator, like someone poor. In this case, he wouldn't have felt himself in the house of his only friend, his best only friend, as someone low. He wouldn't have felt himself as so ignoble. And this is what the Creator gives us, lets us do by allowing us to achieve it ourselves. But in our egoistic quality, we can't really sense the state, the meeting, the complaints, the rising feeling of shame, the inability of correcting it. We don't feel it all. But in short, we feel shame and we're ready for anything but to feel it. Because the feeling of shame, it totally cancels our self. It's the only thing that a person has besides his animalistic body. And this self, it's connected to the Creator. It stems from a higher state. And thus, we're ready to part with life. We're ready to part with this body. Since our self gives us the eternal feeling, the feeling of eternity. And thus, people are ready to kill themselves and go to war and so on and so forth. Our self is higher than our animalistic body. So, coming to such a situation where our ego, our entire animalistic self, rebels, we have to find the power to stand against it. And here, at our aid, there is the group and Kabbalistic sources and the upper light. And we start understanding, how can we work on the ego? How can we raise and lift ourselves above it so that our thought, our inner forces, our inner qualities will prevail, will control it, so they'll constantly hold them under their control? This is the Kabbalistic method, actually. But again, I'm saying that if people don't understand what they have to do, what they have to correct, what they have to do, so of course they can't correctly relate to this crisis, correctly read it, analyze it. And they consider that through some kind of small changes, our egoistic system, economic, political, social changes, relations, will correct it and will reach another state, another phase. And others say, no, let's simply give up. Nothing will help. And whatever happens, happens. It's not in our ability to fight the state we've reached. It is the state of the final ego, and there's no way out. And they're right. In our world, with all of our opportunities, we see no way out. But only if we unfold this upper force for ourselves, this correcting force. And thus, it's given as if from the absence came into our world, was presented to Adam 5,771 years ago. He discovered this system, the egoistic quality, and the methodism of its correction. The method to correct it. And this is the point from where we have to keep on going, carry on. So, are there any interesting questions, especially with respect to maybe the example about the beggar? And Alexander from Moscow, how to explain to 90%, about 5% of the population has 95% of all world riches. How to correct that? You know, one of the main analysts, it's a military analyst, I can't remember his name, I'll put it up on my blog. He writes correctly that today, the forces in the world, well understanding what's going on, you know what they're preparing for themselves? A good shelter. This is what he says. That actually their mission is to survive in any case, in any survive any catastrophe. And this is actually what they have left to do. Because besides the catastrophe, the division of the world, correcting it by military means and so on. No other way to do it. We see all that's going on, the Arab countries, and what's going on in Europe, and the collapse of countries like Greece, Spain, and there are many other countries on their way. These are all signs of the destruction of the previous system. Everyone says that in 2 or maybe 3 years the European Union will fall apart. I think that it will happen much quicker. So with all their, so they'll try as much as they can to sustain those countries that are going bankrupt. But soon, you know, in hardworking Germany, people will start shouting, why do we have to sustain others? Why do they have to live at our expense? But in such a market, it's a tremendous danger. It were better for each one to act separately. But since they came together, then all the negative egoistic effects, they increase. And this is the result and outcome, and it's well known to mathematicians. So, of course, they saw all this European structure in pink neons, and they created, well, at least the European unification, but all that is a very risky system, because when it explodes, it will take the whole world with it. The two previous world wars started in Europe. The third might start there too. So the problems are very big. That 5% of the population in the world own 90% of all the assets, that's true, and no elite will want to part with what they have. Only if you show them, only if you educate the masses in the meantime correctly so that they'll understand what is the future picture of the world, that there is no other way out. And the main thing is that by sharing with others, disseminating amongst others You truly invest yourself into the future, into wholeness and perfection. This is what you can get for your capital, and this will give you a greater fulfillment and greater security for you and your children and for anyone else if you use all of your opportunities, all of your means, in order to bring people to a good unification and in inverting all of these riches of yours into war. You won't get anything as a result, because in the massive destruction of the masses, the population, billions of people, really it's billions this time, what will you have then as a result? What will you live off, and how will you keep on developing? Who needs those billions if you'll drag them with you into your bunker? That's how you'll keep on living. The situation is actually a very poor one for everyone. If the rich think that in the meantime they can close their eyes and say what will be, then, you know, there's no other planet. And thus, the right development of history is if we'll publicize the right, the knowledge about how to transcend this crisis and how to turn for the better. This is actually what has to lead us all to the next better phase and not to terrible eradication. But actually, they write about it very openly, that the rich elite are engaged in preparing themselves for such critical situations. But on the other hand, they too understand very well that any critical situation, if it will drag an A-bomb, then ecology won't be able to take it. Earth is in such a delicate state that the tiniest push will bring it to complete disbalance, where there will suddenly be worldwide winter, or who knows what. It's unpredictable. In Kabbalah, there are horrible states described in this situation, and of course, no one will be well off. So we have to understand that all that they're engaged in, all these games, who does what and how, and what he prepares for himself, doesn't matter. We have to prepare ourselves today, not only for tomorrow, that will explain to everyone what actually is going on. Yes? Adrian from Romania is asking, how to explain this threatening situation to our children that when still small feel themselves lucky and have no idea what's awaiting them, and children don't have to understand that. No way. Only starting with a more grown-up age, where the youth, the young people, meaning that it's somewhere at the age of 14, 15, or even older, they get the opportunity, the ability of correctly understanding the world. When more or less their point of view of the world was formulated in order to not harm their psyche, in order to not bring them to inner fear, you have to unfold it all so that the system of correction, the support from the surrounding environment, from our groups, it will always exist among the young, those that come to us, the new, and will give them full confidence that we're on the right track and that we are correcting, and thus nothing threatens us. And we wish the same for the whole world. And for small children, till the age of 13, 14, 15, it's forbidden to tell them about about all that. If they hear about it somewhere, then they hear something about it, but by no means to explain to them that the world is in a bad state. Education has to come in general only out of goodness and love, otherwise a person starts developing. Give a child, instead of love, punishments, he won't develop. The same with more elderly children. Vladimir from Moscow is asking, is it possible to come to a state of love by theoretical research without seeing any example? Who can set such an example today? No one. In our world, there are no analogies for it, and you can't do anything about that. Only if we will tell the world about it, we'll show them, you understand, they can't even learn from nature. Our explanation, it isn't based on Kabbalah. We can't unfold something from Kabbalah. It will instinctively push them away. We can't reveal the origin of our understanding, of our knowledge. We want to show them on the examples of the animalistic world, on the bring examples from nature that we have to be connected between ourselves. And we want to give them the sources, not Bala Sulam in the way it's written, but rewritten by us, so that they'll see that the unification, the connection, the unity is necessary, what they're actually already starting to understand, but when they'll start reading it in rewritten sources, nonetheless, light will influence them. When we say that we have to nonetheless get together, study together, freedom of choice, freedom of will, perception of reality, the moving of man's ego, or the development of man's ego, our inner nature, all that Kabbalah tells us about the psychology of all our world and the next phases of love and unity, if we'll tell them all that based on our sources, even though they won't know where these sources come from, it will be perceived as the science of our world. But since we take it from the sources, we deliver to them, they will get from us a certain illumination, and that illumination will correct them, will create in them a new quality, new thoughts, new desires. They will differently perceive, relate to the world. They'll see everything that's going on from a different point of view, and they will understand why they're starting to change. And it's a very big mass where everyone influences everyone, so it will be much easier for them to undergo these phases than it is for us. And this is why I think that the dissemination of our materials in the world should give a quick result. We simply have to prepare them and start and seriously disseminate them, because till the next crisis, till the next wave of that crisis, we have very little time left. I think that towards winter there will be the next wave. Galina from Boston is asking, how can I fulfill others? Always make concessions in everything. What is the? How do you fulfill the other? Fulfilling the other is only in bringing him to the recognition of our unity, our the need for our unification. We have to create now a system by which we can do that, a mutual system where we will all be interconnected correctly. And the groups too, until we create until we create the unity between us, we only study these materials, we relate, we have meals, congresses, but We're not sharing our incomes and so on. Why not? Because we have not yet reached a corrected state. And the Rabash, he warned about that, and also Bala Sulam warns about it in the book of the last generation. You can find it. Meaning, up to the point where we become corrected, and only to the extent to which we are corrected, only after we're corrected, meaning that we cross the machsom, only to that extent can we start creating amongst us the correct society in our world. Only if a group of corrected people get together. Well, not fully corrected, but those that have already crossed the machsom. Before that, it's forbidden to create such society. So not to do it by no means, and not to draw children into it and outsiders. We have to engage only in publicizing and teaching. That is our mission. Yes? Many questions. A question coming from Siberia by Timo. The quality of the middle line, Israel, does it repel people because he has no root for it in his soul? And sorry, didn't get the other half of the question. The middle line is not shame. On the contrary, it's pride. It's good pride. It's pride since I become like the Creator. It's the left line that brings you to shame when a person discovers what exists in the ego of our world or in the ego of the spiritual worlds. And correcting the left line with the help of the light, by doing that, he makes the right line of himself and brings himself to the middle line, to realization, where his entire corrected egoism works on the stone. Then he feels pride for being able to become, of becoming like the Creator, that he could become like the Creator in that one single great big desire. Great big unified desire. Okay, a question by Alexander from Novosibirsk. You said that loving the Creator is very similar to loving the Creator to a woman. Loving the Creator is very similar to loving a woman. I said that? I don't know in what connotation. Like a flirt. Yeah. It's, we have to create a desire, on and off desire and fulfillment, suffering and happiness, and as a result of these transitions, we create a great force, a great attractive force, and then that force, that attractive force, it turns into love. It builds a vessel that can be fulfilled by love. Yes, I did give this example, and the same, there is this analogy in our world of flirt, courting, where people distance and come closer, distance. It's like a game. We can see this game with animals very clearly. When they dance, let you come closer, don't let you come closer. It's a necessary element in nature that happens naturally. It stems from the upper world and exists this way on all other levels in zoology and all other human levels. Thank you. Boris from Israel is asking, how can we use the force of the world clay in order to create a wave that will acknowledge what's going on in the world? We have to disseminate. We have to disseminate the knowledge so that it will resonance as the solution for the crisis. I was in Italy, in Spain, and in Russia. Well, in Russia it's not felt that much. Everything is kind of stupefied. People kind of conceal their situation. They go into this dark kind of middle-class economics, lower-class economics. But actually, in all other countries, especially in Europe, And, well, I bring the opinion of those relatively educated people, thinking people. There is a great desire to know what could the solution be, because from day to day, more and more smart people start acknowledging that we simply dipped ourselves into a very unpleasant story. Or we've reached this state naturally because this is the necessary development of man. All the more when it says that this nature has brought us to this state and we couldn't have escaped it, and so on. Meaning there are already very serious analytical conclusions about what's going on. Well, a few more questions, and I think the ninth point we won't be able to undergo it, even though we went through a lot. We have 5 minutes left. Okay, Pasha from Kemerovo is asking, how does the group give me force? We talk about it a lot. How? Well, how, looking at your television or you're reading a newspaper or listening to the radio or to whatever they say, you're penetrated by their desires. And then you want to buy what an ad tells you to and to act like everyone does, love what everyone does, the same football team, the same trends and songs. Where does that come from? Your environment gives it to you, the same with the group. If you will simply want to make it your surrounding, it will be able to give you anything. The most unbelievable thing will become precious for you. Let those who are lazy get into sports groups. Let those with obesity enter groups of thin people and see how it affects them. Against their will, they'll start limiting themselves, meaning the environment determines the person. So we have to create such an environment that will influence me. And this is the reason for which I get into it. I have to work now with all my strength in order to create such an opinion in the group so that it will influence me. He said that you always told me that it's bad to smoke all the time. I was coughing and who knows what. You showed me how hard it is for you to be next to me, and that is because of the smoking and so on. I want to get these negative impressions from you, this negative influence that it is harmful. Try creating such an environment for yourself. I assure you that if it will surround you many hours a day, in a few days you'll feel that you can't take a cigarette into your hands. It will influence you because internally we're all interconnected. And thus this interconnection, it influences us against our will. If I'm connected to you by these interconnections, and whether I want it or not, then it's enough to awaken these interconnections in me, and you'll start influencing me, and that's it. I'm completely under your control. I have no freedom of choice, like we learn from the article of the freedom of choice by Balasulam. I have no freedom of choice. The only thing I can do is to enter the group in which there is a certain importance, and then I acquire that importance. That's it. So you have to find such a group that values that its goal is what you desire. And that's it, no problem. None of us have the power of will. We're all weak, we're all lacking character. No one has the strength. Spiritually wise, there is no such hero in the world that will have the power to overcome his own ego. But if we get into a group that will advertise to us the coming out of the egoism as the attainable, exalted most goal and constantly to push me at it. I won't be able to forget about it. I'll constantly be thinking about it day and night, and it will be very easy to come to spiritual attainment. Let us, maybe one more question. Let us take the hands of the friends. Let's hold on to our friends. You know, there's this song. Let's hold on to each other strong in order for each one of us to be influenced by the importance of the goal. That is called the reciprocal arvut. And that is for none of us to leave the goal, to let go of the goal, so that existing in our mutual common system, for that system to open up. It exists, only it's concealed, it's hidden from us. For it to reveal this connection, for it to reveal from within us, and the upper light will reveal inside us the next world, the upper world. It only depends on the extent to which we'll think about it together and want that state. Well, actually, we've studied this article till the up to the ninth, item number nine. If possible, last question. Rodriguez from Colombia is asking, we have a unique situation today. All the world clears together. We're having Unity Day. Maybe you can give us a tip. How can we unite? What do all of us have to think about together on this day? Each one has to delve into himself, deepen into himself, and feel inside himself the chain that connects him with others, the network. Then it's a network that truly exists between us. Furthermore, a person could exist in this world and not in this world, because it's the network between desires and souls and not physical bodies. In that network exists both Bala Sulam and all the great Kabbalists of the past. They're all together with us in the same network. Today, we have millions with us, and the truth is that much more than millions, because throughout the entire history of humanity, all those souls are together with us. It's hundreds of millions of souls, and all of them are a tremendous spiritual force. If we'd like to be connected together in that network, then naturally we won't only influence each other and we'll be a part of it, and each one, it will be at his disposal for spiritual attainment, but will influence also those who are connected into that system, all the people of the world, unwillingly, not consciously, and will start influencing them. So let's agree amongst us that we want to evidently feel the connection between us. Thank you very much. And we can sing something probably. Okay, good song.